Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, November 15th, 2016. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Scholars from the University of Idaho Poli Sci Department speak about this year's elections. Idaho lawmakers on Northern Idaho Legislative Tour talk about what might be coming up for the next legislative session. Pullman High School students walk out of class to protest Trump election. And Moscow Committee recommends change in zoning code to make it easier to rebuild non-conforming structures after a fire. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. There are a few Washington legislative seats that are too close to call a week after mail-in ballots in the state had to be postmarked. In the Senate, Republicans are likely to hold on to their razor-thin 25-24 advantage, down from 26-23. That's if trends in two close races hold. Incumbent Republican Senator Steve Litzau of Mercer Island is so far losing a close race to Democrat Lisa Wellman, also of Mercer Island. Incumbent Democrat Mark Mullett of Issaquah has a slim advantage against Republican challenger Chad McGendaz, also of Issaquah. In the House, Democrats are expected to add one seat for a 51-47 advantage, up from 50-48. More mail-in ballots will be counted later this week. Idaho lawmakers on the Northern Idaho Legislative Tour say the presidential election will have a big impact on what will be discussed when the legislature reconvenes in Boise in January. House Majority Caucus Chair John Vanderwood of Nampa told the Lewiston Tribune the election of Donald Trump has raised questions about the future of the Affordable Care Act and other federal health programs, and therefore will impact how Idaho lawmakers address the ongoing issue of how to get health care to the 78,000 residents of the state that fall into the Medicaid gap. Those Idahoans make too much to qualify for Medicaid, but make too little to qualify to purchase subsidized health insurance on the state insurance exchange. Referring to the election of Trump, Vanderwood told the paper, "I think that takes the pressure off the legislature. A lot of members will hide behind it and say we need to wait and see." Senate President Pro Tem Brent Hill of Rexburg said state lawmakers will probably not make any big changes to health care systems until they have a better idea what Trump and the Congress will do to the Affordable Care Act. Hill said, "I think we'll prolong a decision until they act." Because Democrats lost three seats in the House and one seat in the state Senate this year, they can expect to have less members on each legislative committee, if only because there won't be enough Democrats to go to each of the morning committee meetings, which often occur simultaneously at the state capitol, especially in the House. Democrats will have 11 seats in the House and six seats in the Senate next year. Committee assignments will be made by the heads of both chambers at the legislature's organizational meeting Thursday, December 1st in Boise. One possible scenario is Democrats getting three seats on the powerful Joint Finance Appropriations Committee rather than the current four. In the House, there may only be two Democrats on each major committee with three on one committee. Currently, Democrats have two seats on the House Health and Welfare Committee, three on the Education and Revenue and Taxation Committees, and four on the State Affairs Committee. Senate President Pro Tem Brent Hill told the Tribune he has a plan for Democratic committee assignments in the Senate, but he declined to speak about details because he hasn't yet shared his plan with Senate Minority Leader Michelle Stennett of Ketchum. Scholars at the University of Idaho Political Science and Philosophy Department said some Trump voters, rather than being racist or sexist, instead chose to ignore racism and sexism in Donald Trump's rhetoric. In the search for a reason for Trump's surprise last-minute win, Faculty Secretary Don Crowley told a group of about 100 at the Idaho Commons this afternoon FBI Director James Comey's report of opening an investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails likely had a big impact.
Comey's initial statement that came, 10 days before the election, which basically said it didn't really say we were reopening the investigation, but kind of implied they were reopening the investigation and there might be something new, even though it turned out there wasn't anything new. I think it really did shake up the case, but we can't really demonstrate clearly what happened. But if you want to sort of add the pieces together, of the people who decided late, they voted overwhelmingly for Trump. So that may say something about the role that Comey played. And let me add here that an FBI director making a statement like that 10 days before the election is so completely beyond the bounds of normal American politics that he should have already resigned and he should be fired by Obama yesterday. It is just absolutely unreasonable for an FBI director to insert that kind of comment in a campaign.
That was University of Idaho Faculty Secretary Don Crowley of the UI's Political Science and Philosophy Department speaking this afternoon at the Idaho Commons on the question of how a Trump presidency will differ from a Trump candidacy. Assistant Professor Eamon McLeod said he has been studying U.S. politics his entire life, and he does not know what will happen at all.
We know that he's a little touchy. He's threatened the Speaker of the House of his own party. There's a lot of speculation that he's going to force him out. He responds to anybody who criticizes him with ad hominem attacks and things of that nature. I don't know how that's going to play with our allies and with some of our enemies. He disagrees with his party on any number of major issues, including repealing Obamacare, parts of it, the minimum wage, free trade, building a wall. The sense I'm getting, I mean, there are some Democrats who I have heard say things like, well, we're willing to work with Trump. But then I believe it was Senator Merkley from Oregon who already basically said that, forget it. No, they stonewalled us for 8 years. How do you like them apples? I have no idea how this is supposed to work. I don't know. I've never seen anything like this. I'm a student of American political history. I've never seen anything like this, ever.
And that was University of Idaho Assistant Professor Eamon McLeod. UI Political Science Professor Juliet Carlisle spoke about Trump's inexperience with politics and how that might impact how things turn out. Carlisle spoke about how politics is not a zero-sum game.
Truman once said of Eisenhower, poor Ike, he'll sit there and say, do this, do that. It's nothing like being in the army. You can't command people. Part of being a successful president, there's lots of people who have written about what it takes to be a successful president, is understanding that politics is an iterative game, right? It is not a zero-sum game. You don't go in there and say, I'm going to blast this to win this. Because every day there is a new compromise to be made. And so politics is a lot about personality, and it's about compromise. And as some people who have commented on this, some scholars, have commented that really a presidential power comes not from the Constitution, but from the power to persuade. And the power of persuasion comes in bargaining. Now, whether Trump is a bargainer, he says he's amazing, but we don't really know because he has violated other people who disagree with him. I was looking at comparisons last night for something else I was working on, and comparisons between Reagan and Trump, and they're really antithesis of each other, right? They're really nothing alike. And as Reagan said, we don't have enemies, we have opponents. Everyone who disagrees with Trump is an enemy, and he holds grudges about that. So I think, again, remembering that it's an iterative game, who is your ally today on a particular issue might be your opponent tomorrow. This is how Congress works. I mean, this is a very small group of people. They disagree without being disagreeable. And, you know, if you're in the Senate and you've worked 20 years with the same 99 other people, these are your friends in a lot of ways. And again, you might disagree, but I don't think that Trump approaches policy like that. And I think that's a problem.
That was University of Idaho political science professor Julia Carlisle speaking at the University of Idaho Commons this afternoon in a panel discussion put on by the UI Political Science and Philosophy Department. About 40 Pullman High School students walked out of class yesterday in protest of the election of Donald Trump. What's Left radio show hosts Oscar Quentin and George Collins spoke with high school student Tim about the walkout on KRFP last night.
Well, it was organized by a couple of my friends, and they just spread the word that we were going to have a walkout to discuss some different ideas and thoughts about the elections and just to kind of come together and share ideas.
All right. And so about how many students ended up walking out of school?
I think we had probably a little over 40 students.
Okay. All right. Now, what'd you guys do? You got outside and you'd organized. I take it you had actually put in some words together. You wrote them down?
Yes. So I found out about the walkout the night before, so I stayed up and wrote just a little speech type thing. But we, you know, organized everyone together in the cafeteria, and we got everyone. We walked out just to the front of the school where there's a little area with a wall, so we had some speakers stand on the wall, and everyone else just in a semicircle around listening. You know, a lot of the people that I talked to just that day, telling them 5 minutes beforehand to come on out, they had mixed reactions. A lot of them said that there was, you know, absolutely no point in doing a walkout. You know, we wouldn't change anything, and really we were just being, you know, just throwing a tantrum about the election, so we should just, you know, suck it up and accept the election results. So, you know, they refused to come out, and they, you know, didn't even really want to hear our message, which is unfortunate because, you know, we weren't contesting the results of the election. We weren't fighting the electoral system. But, you know, they didn't get to hear about that because they refused to even come out and listen.
What is your feeling, first of all? What's your feeling? What was the purpose of this, if it was not to, if was it all in vain, if you can't turn back the election and make something different happen? What was the purpose?
Well, no, not at all. I don't think it was in vain. You know, the purpose of it was really to just combat the normalization and, you know, the display of some of the hateful values that we felt were displayed by, you know, our president-elect Donald Trump and his followers. And we wanted to really just take a stand and, you know, tell other people that we weren't going to accept, you know, the type of behavior that has been seen and, you know, really is taken as something that's commonplace, you know, since this election's been going on.
So, Tim, if I could jump in, I just want to ask for you personally, is this, or maybe a better question would be, this entire election cycle, has this been your first venture into this kind of activist politics or consciousness in general, or how far back does this kind of passion go for you?
You know, I think I've had a passion for politics and activism for, you know, a while. I think I've always been opinionated, but with this campaign, this is the first time that I've actually had a chance to really go out on, you know, in different ways, such as the walkout, and express political opinions. Because, you know, before this, the last election was, you know, I was in middle school or grade school. So, yeah, I think this would be kind of my first, you know, opportunity to say something and get my opinion out there.
Excellent. And I would hope, and it sounds like that this is only the beginning. Do you have plans or any intention to continue with this kind of work, especially in the wake of the result last Tuesday, when a lot of folks would argue such action and such passion among younger folks is more needed than ever?
You know, I can't say anything about plans for the future other than just being politically active in voting and being informed about issues and just helping the people around me be, you know, as informed as they can be about some of the issues. The purpose of it was definitely not to, you know, overturn the election or, as you said, send shudders of fear to the other side. What I think it was more aimed at was comforting the people who did feel threatened or scared by the results of the election, and just to let the rest of the population, you know, in this case at Pullman High School, know that, you know, a lot of these people, you know, we don't accept, you know, the display of these, you know, hateful acts. You know, we don't accept racism and sexism. We don't accept, you know, mockery of the disabled. And I think that was really a lot more what it was about. It was just, you know, letting people know that, you know, this is not going to become the new normal. It's not going to become socially acceptable to do these type of things. You know, we live in an ethical culture, and in order to do that, we have to maintain some sort of human decency. And I think that we, in this election, you know, particularly on Trump's side, we've seen just kind of a lack of human decency. So the purpose of the walkout was to reassure people that there is still some, and that there are people who don't accept it. And it was amazing. You know, we had a lot of different students from different backgrounds. You know, we had LGBT students, we had Muslim students, students of color, you had white students like myself, all out there. And a lot of the stories that I heard, you know, these people really do feel, you know, fear and anxiety about the results of this election. And, you know, a lot of the people that I talked to said that it was just really cathartic to be able to sit in a group of fellow students and feel comforted in knowing that we don't accept, you know, the mandate that's set forth by Donald Trump, or, you know, don't accept his behavior, you know, and that we are still, you know, in this together, and that we do still have, you know, basic human decency towards each other.
That was Pullman High School student Tim speaking with KRFP hosts Oscar Quentin and George Collins on last night's What's Left radio show on KRFP. Tim took part in a walkout at Pullman High School that included about 40 people. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman. The Pullman City Council tonight will hold a public hearing on the final 2017 budget and will vote on other agenda items. The council will also hold a joint meeting with state legislators at tonight's meeting. One agenda item is a resolution approving meaningful participation in a low-income apartment project planned by the Community Action Center. Another item is a resolution approving the preliminary plat for Sunnyside Heights Addition Number 10. Another is an ordinance changing the zoning of a 33,600-square-foot parcel at 305 North Grand Avenue from C3 to C2. The last action item on the agenda is a motion to upgrade a 4/5 time records specialist position to full time. The Pullman City Council will meet at 7 p.m. tonight at City Hall. The Moscow City Council's Administrative Committee yesterday scheduled a public hearing for the next City Council meeting on Monday next week on a proposed ordinance that allows the owners of non-conforming structures destroyed by fire or other unintentional means more flexibility in rebuilding. City Planner Mike Ray explained how current city ordinances can cause problems for homeowners' investments even if their homes are not destroyed.
At one point in time, the city, underneath that zoning code, would have allowed the construction of a structure, and then throughout time, subsequent zoning code changes happen, and then all of a sudden the rules are changed and it becomes nonconforming. So, you know, pretty common occurrences are maybe the structure doesn't meet setback requirements, maybe it doesn't meet height requirements. Another aspect of this portion, this section of the code, covers non-conforming uses of structures. And so that would be your common duplex within a single-family zone, which up until about 2008 we didn't really have any issues with, because lending institutions really didn't look at them that closely. And ever since kind of the Great Recession happened, we had more scrutiny with those financial institutions. And nowadays, it's hard to achieve financing on a duplex in a single-family zone because the financial institutions can't recoup their investment should the structure burn down, you know, in the event of a fire, natural disaster, things like that. So it really places people in a burden of, you know, getting refinancing their home or having somebody purchase the property. They're often devalued just because of, you know, you need a cash offer to come in and actually purchase the property because you can't get a loan.
That was Moscow City Planner Mike Ray speaking to the City Council's Administrative Committee yesterday afternoon. Committee members reacted positively to the proposed ordinance change and put it on the regular agenda for the Monday, November 21st City Council meeting, along with a public hearing on the issue. There's been a rebound in Idaho's grape crop this year after a weak harvest in 2015. A November freeze in 2014 had a negative effect on yields last year, but the Capital Press reports 50 or 100% higher yields than last year's harvest. Some growers said they've picked enough grapes and they don't need to pick the rest. Ron Bittner of Bittner Wineries said most of the wineries ran out of tank space. Bittner estimates he left 10 to 15% of his crop on the vine. He said, "I wish I could have got it all, but I'm happy with what I got. I got more than I needed." Bittner said the harvest itself was high quality. He said all the numbers were good, acids, sugars, flavors, all the good things you want to have. "It's one of the best vintages I've had personally." Idaho Wine Commissioner Moya Schatz-Dolby said the grapes were also aided by positive weather. Schatz-Dolby said it was a great growing season. We weren't hit with any sort of problems. Idaho State Police arrested a man Friday during a traffic stop after finding 125 pounds of cannabis in his car. The Idaho State Journal reports the man was from Fresno, California, and was driving a Ford Explorer down Interstate 15 near Pocatello. Authorities seized the pot and took the 36-year-old man to the Bannock County Jail. Police are charging him with marijuana trafficking over 25 pounds. The estimated street value of the seized marijuana is $500,000. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow-Pullman area. Scattered rain showers before 5 a.m., then a slight chance of rain and snow showers, mostly cloudy, low 36, 40% chance of precipitation, southwest winds 10 to 15, gusts up to 25, little or no snow accumulation expected, 20% chance of rain and snow showers before noon tomorrow, partly sunny, high 43, 30% chance of rain and snow showers between midnight and 5 a.m. Wednesday night, then a chance of snow showers after 5 a.m., patchy fog after 5 a.m., otherwise mostly cloudy, low 32, new snow accumulation, less than half an inch possible. On Thursday, 40% chance of snow showers before noon, then a chance of rain showers, patchy fog before noon, otherwise mostly cloudy, low 40, new snow accumulation, less than half an inch possible, 20% chance of showers before midnight Thursday night, mostly cloudy, low 27, and mostly sunny, high 42 on Friday. Currently, fair skies, 46 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscast you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events, and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. I'm Lee Robartis. Scott Jackson assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. Remember, all editions of the KRFP Evening Report are archived on the KRFP website shortly after broadcast. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online.